Greetings, everyone. Tommy Martinson here with
Brian this time. Hello. How are you all doing?
Hi, welcome, everyone. Glad you could join us for this Greenhouse podcast. And today, you want to unveil our title?
Yeah, which Mo Money, Mo Problems. Wow. From our favorite rapper, Biggie Smalls. If you've ever heard him.
It's not my favorite rapper, but go for it.
Yeah. Now I just listen to worship music, but back in the day, pre-Jesus, Biggie was a big influence.
Yes. I was laughing because I saw a meme like a week ago, and it was like, white girl's favorite rapper is Kesha. throwing you under the bus, Kesha. Bless you.
Yeah.
Kesha. It was funny.
Yeah. If you want to hop on the podcast, feel free. Well,
she's a Mar Vista neighbor, actually.
No, she's not.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Bring her to church.
Yeah. That's... Yeah, and Hoser, we can bring him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Take me to church. Right? That's his song.
Is that how you say it, Hoser? Hosier?
How do you say it?
I actually don't know.
Yeah. Hey, you're the musician here. I went and saw him in concert one time.
H-O-S-I-E-R.
He was so good, though.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting, yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, so...
That's really the most important thing we're talking about today. Yeah. Okay, so what we're diving into, he said, mo money, mo problems. We're talking about money, we're talking about work, and how these things relate to wisdom and discernment. So we're going to crack that open
right now. Yeah, and I think a brief intro, I mean, even just kind of talking a little bit about my own story is, as a nurse, went to nursing school, and I remember distinctly in the season after I graduated, got my license, and started my first job, I had a really inadequate theology of work and understanding of how God wanted to integrate himself into my work and to the work of my hands actually being his hands to work. And ironically, I mean, nursing is such a care-focused field that you'd think that it would just seamlessly transition, but for me, it really was this struggle of knowing that God called me to be a nurse since I was a sophomore in high school. I just completed this rigorous 6-year training, which doesn't have to be 6 years, but it was 6 years for me. And I started working, and then all of a sudden I was hit by a huge wave of responsibility, a wave of lifestyle change, a wave of wondering how do I integrate God into work, and not knowing with the laws of the land, how do I opt into really do this for the Lord? I actually ended up getting a tattoo on my forearm. Quick plug for nurses.
Wait, isn't that demonic, Brian?
No, definitely not. I got a tattoo that represented Matthew 5. And all my patients actually... They would comment on it, and they would ask me the story of why I got it, and it would actually allow me to bypass the laws so that I could actually preach the gospel to them.
Oh, there you go.
So, not demonic at all, actually.
No.
Fully gospel.
Uh-huh. Great. So, we want to kind of crack open some verses from Proverbs having to do with money as well as work, kind of the theology of work. So we're gonna kind of go with the flow here, and see what we want to. There's actually so many aspects to talk about when it comes to money and work.
Yeah.
So we're probably gonna talk about like Paul and how he was a tent maker for a time, and how he did sometimes receive finances from others, but he chose to be a tent maker along with Priscilla and Aquila in the New Testament church. Yeah. These guys, in my humble opinion, should have been given all of their time to be preaching the gospel. And I'm like, yo, Paul, you're like
rockstar,
the apostolic father of the early church. And I'm like, maybe rather than creating tents, you could be doing some other campaigns.
Yeah.
But there's a reason for it. So we're going to talk about that. And then we want to talk about just, is it okay to go after wealth and riches, and is that more risky to live your life that way? I have a lot of people in charismatic circles tell me about the big things they want to do, and they're like, "Yeah, I want to be wealthy to finance the kingdom." What do we think about that? Yeah. You know, I always think it comes back to matters of the heart, matters of like what God's calling us to. Is that just an excuse yeah. for some people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to become wealthy to finance mm-hmm. the kingdom, or you just really want to be wealthy? So yeah. I'm not trying to shade anyone. I think it's this idea of like heart intent
yeah.
and there's even, I mean, gosh, we could even go, I don't know if we're going to do it today. We could even go into this whole thing of like prosperity gospel and like,
oh yeah, man, which just to clarify, getting
stressed thinking about it,
is a doctrine of demons. It is 100% not a true gospel, false gospel. However, there is a very logical and good biblical explanation as to why.
Yes.
But yeah, probably not going to get into that today.
Yeah. Although just for reference, yeah. A lot of charismatic churches are very prosperity driven.
Yeah.
Very focused on money and giving. And if you do this with your finances, you will receive this.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's like other parts of scripture where God does talk about like tithing and giving. And it's like the only place in scripture that he's like, test me in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, yeah. Wow. So he's actually like, okay, if we test him with our giving and our finances, our tithing, there's something in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's so many parts that we can talk about. Why don't we jump first into Proverbs 23 and let's see where it goes. Proverbs 23, 4-5. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, then fly away like an eagle toward heaven.
Yeah.
What's your Matthew Henry commentary?
My Matthew Henry commentary. Yeah, I don't know if I'll be as elegant. But yeah, honestly, I think just like the foundations of the facts of this proverb, it really is pointing, I think, to our heart posture, mm-hmm. as well as the reality of this life. And I think what I think Proverbs here is doing is really pointing to foundations to build life on. I think it's a positive wisdom book, and it is meant to bring us to build this solid foundation. With building, you're going to add onto it. So with this one, I think the foundation here that is being built is like, you don't build your life on seeking riches.
Mm-hmm.
Although those things may come, it is mm-hmm. not meant to be a primary, but a byproduct.
Yes.
And the reason is that because you foundationally understand that riches can grow wings and fly mm-hmm. away.
That's right. It's fleeting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also a couple warnings, like don't become a workaholic is basically what it's saying. Yeah. And don't work so hard that your aim is like you're spending all your time to become rich.
Yeah. Which is intrinsically, like contextually, this is spoken to the Jewish people who are literally commanded to rest, to have mm-hmm. a Sabbath. And yet he's here saying that even as much as you can Sabbath, you can still overwork. Mm-hmm. And I think a big point here is like, what does it look like to work
mm-hmm.
and have a, what we would in the modern day call a work-life balance.
Yes.
So that's kind of like what I'm,
you know, a God-given work-life balance is really important.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of the warning there of like, you know, wealth is fleeting and there should be a point in time where you decide, you know, I am going to change things up here and I need to devote my time and energy towards things that really matter.
Yeah.
Eternal things.
Totally. And I think it's to also hold intention, right? It says, do not overwork to be rich. Like you, like in all reality, God could lead you into a season of working so hard. We see it exemplified mm-hmm. In Paul and in mm-hmm. Priscilla and Aquila,
mm-hmm.
That they worked to a degree to prove to these people that they are not going to accept like tithes and offerings to actually live from, mm-hmm. but they're going to exemplify a principle foundation of God to actually be tent makers, to work, but like in our maybe culture.
Maybe that's a good place to kind of read the verse. So
yeah,
kind of cross-reference to tent making, because this is such a big part of the discussion. So in Acts 18, the first four verses, it says, after this, Paul left Athens, went to Corinth. I think it's about 45 miles away from Athens. He found a Jew named Aquila, native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. So they're Italians, mm-hmm. Aquila and Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. And Paul went to see them, and let's see, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked together. The trade they had was tent makers. Every Sabbath, he would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks. So we see this work-life balance of Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila of getting kind of sweaty, working, making those tents.
Yeah.
I'm sure doing a great job, doing it unto the Lord. That's a whole nother topic.
Yep.
Side note, come back to it. But in our workplace, with our difficult bosses and coworkers, are we treating our workplace like we are, like our main boss is Jesus? Like, yeah. It sounds cheesy, but it's so real. Like, okay, God, this workplace is tough. You're my boss. I'm doing this unto you as worship.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing this for the Lord as tent makers, but then they also had this outside of their 9-to-5, so to speak. They were pouring into lives. They were in the synagogue. So yeah. I think that's important.
Yeah, I think that's huge, is you see this... in even that, you kind of see this dichotomy of like, okay, they're doing church and then they're doing work. But but what is really important is recognizing that Paul's emphasis is that it is an integration, that you're doing, you're not just churching.
Yeah.
And then you're not just working. You're actually doing church and work, and you're actually doing work and church. Yes. You're doing both at the same time, all the time. So the spiritual fervor and ability, and really like the gain and energy that you get from the Lord at church is actually meant to continue throughout the week and throughout your life to actually like empower you and energize you to do church at work and to work and recognize how you can translate and integrate the reality of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus while you're washing pans and talking to a coworker, while you're listening to someone complain or whatever at work, and to insert fundamental principles of the gospel and like to recognize that you are that catalytic spark that can change somebody's life in a moment. And it might just happen at a Walmart. It might just happen at a hospital in the break room. It might just happen like anywhere you go. You, if you grasp this, you will grasp an aspect of the kingdom of God that is functioning through you.
That's great. Let's hit now Proverbs 11:28. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Yeah. When we put all of our trust in money and finances and our work and in riches, boom, you're going to fall, because that's where your trust is at. It's not a firm foundation. Our firm foundation is Jesus, his righteousness, and that's where we flourish as a branch. I think it's a pretty simple, straightforward verse. Kind of a cross reference to that is Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. It's saying like, these are all temporary things that will fade. Thieves break in and steal. It's like, this can all be gone, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is eternal things, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yeah. Where you're putting your time and your energy, that's the posture of your heart. And I think that's so important to consider.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, I even want to talk about like the rich young ruler for a second and how Jesus was talking to this gentleman who was not able to give up his riches for the sake of the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where, that's the passage where Jesus is like, it's easier, what, how did he say it?
It's easier, easier to pass for through. A camel to pass through the eye of a needle, right, than for camel to pass a rich man to enter into the gates of heaven.
Yes. So there's a challenge there for us of like popularity, wealth, like all these things that, yeah, that seem good and can be turned for good.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're done, if this is done with a good heart posture, mm-hmm, bro, like every day you're going to have to bring that before the Lord, yeah, and make sure that you're maintaining that good heart posture with, mm-hmm, your finances and with your popularity and whatever it is. It is, it can be a gift.
Yeah.
And it can be an assignment from the Lord.
You, yeah,
know? So it's not bad to have that. I mean, gosh, people with kingdom finances can make such a difference, yeah, in lives.
Yeah.
But it's just saying like, hey, this is how, this is so tempting,
yeah,
to divert from, yeah, the kingdom of God when you have these things.
Yeah. And I love how you say like they have the ability to really affect lives.
Yes.
Like the perspective foundationally, fundamentally must be that your finances are not for your life.
They're, that's not right, so that you live. It's all God's anyway.
Yeah. And like, frankly, I have this perspective of who gave you the job? Who gave you the success? Who gave you your hands? Who gave you the breath in your lungs? Who is keeping you alive? It says that like the Lord Jesus holds all things together by the word of his power. Like he's the one that holds your atoms together and your hands together and allows, yeah, you to work. So like for you to think your things, your, uh-huh, money, your home, your whatever it is actually yours is actually foolishness, because, yes, you're not actually like understanding that everything you have is from God anyways.
Oh,
like,
so true.
And in all reality, like it is a testimony to God when you realize the truth, and that, mm-hmm, is the truth. It's not that you, mm-hmm, have done anything to earn or,
that's right,
like, yes, you may have walked in line with, but that even that ability and option is just you, yeah, actually taking the offer of God,
mm-hmm,
for the will of for his will over your life seriously and doing what he has offered you to, yeah, do. Like you're just stepping into the will of God,
jumping in there. This aligns Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will.
Mm.
How crazy is that? Like when we think about this blend of like the will that we have and, mm-hmm, the decisions we make are powerful.
Yeah.
But then there's also these verses of like the Lord assigns kings,
yeah,
and presidents,
yeah,
and CEOs, yeah, and,
yeah,
their hearts in the hand of the Lord. And it says he turns it however, yeah, he wants,
yeah,
which is nutty.
And there's so many examples in scripture.
Yes.
Right? Like you have Darius,
Pharaoh,
the Mede, Pharaoh, you have like Nebuchadnezzar, like you have all of these like, yeah, legit kings that, yes, are actually cross-referenced in history.
Yeah.
Like they're aware in history, and all of a sudden like Egypt isn't really a thing in, mm-hmm, in the world. Like of course the biblical narrative is true, but it foundationally came because of this truth that you're talking, right, about.
So if we're applying this to our lives, I mean, first of all, you know, that's challenging for me. Like when I think about, mm, presidents and kings and Putin and whoever else, you're like, huh, how does that all work?
Yeah.
But there's this sense too, I was talking with some people this week about, you know, we're in Hollywood. A lot of you guys listening are, you know, trying to get roles. You're trying to get your career off the ground. And if we can have our hands in front of us and fingers wide apart, like open hands,
yeah,
because how insane that like if God can turn the heads and hearts of kings, surely he can turn the heads and hearts of casting directors and of, mm-hmm, CEOs,
yeah,
of Netflix and wherever you are going.
Yeah.
Like if you are being faithful and obedient and you're like stepping forward and faithful in your work,
yeah,
Like he will provide for you. He knows that you're in this land,
yeah,
and you're in the hallway and there's a lot of doors.
Yeah.
Some are going to be shut. Some are cracked open. Some are wide open.
Yeah.
But if we can actually learn to trust that God is moving the hearts of these,
yeah,
individuals and praying for them,
yeah,
I think that's key.
Yeah.
You don't have to be stressed out about which roles you yeah, get and you don't get.
Yeah.
Like if you're like, yeah, like if you're wondering about like the favor of your life, but you're trying to get in the door in some of these opportunities. Yeah. It's like, can you actually get to a place where you're like, Lord, I just trust you. Yeah. Like you can turn the hearts of this casting director.
Yeah.
But you're like, but my hands are open and my heart's open. Yeah. And if you don't get it, you're like, I guess that wasn't supposed to be for me, and I move on.
Yeah. And I think what would be awesome, and I would love to hear also your vision for this, is I think, what if we all come, because this is like a primary like demographic of the church, is this young and single and like creative sector. What if we actually had a vision in our church of, and I think we do, and I think you elaborate on it pretty often from the pulpit, if we could call it a pulpit, the stage, whatever it is. Like this vision that God is doing a work in society and culture in the world to actually impart a favor upon actors, creatives, not just, actually, I would expand that, not just creatives, totally. But I would say medical officers, medical workers, baristas, like any level and degree of work in LA. I think that I've seen more testimonies of how God is actually orchestrating a move of his kingdom in the workplace. And if we put that to the sector of creatives, then we have the ability to see, how do we then step in line with what God is doing? And I think to cast a vision for that is, God is giving a direction to creatives to enter into a space, a creative space, to produce godly, content that proclaims his name, that does something for his kingdom.
Yeah.
And that is in individuals, both that you're working with that aren't believers or don't have a perspective of God.
Yeah.
And also those that are consumers that will consume that material, as well as those that are higher up that might not even understand what is truly spiritually happening with the fact of your presence being there and you being a light bearer of God on the set. On the whatever, to take the roles that are godly, to scorn the roles that are ungodly, to like be an influence of change and a catalyst for people to enter into the kingdom of God.
And you know, we might disagree actually, Brian, but I think this whole line of like secular and sacred can kind of be dissolved in the sense of there are like roles and music and things where there's maybe not like direct, like God glorifying kind of like content out there that someone can be called into that can be entirely what God wants you to do. Like a movie role that doesn't have any spiritual component to it could be exactly where God wants you to be. And but you're still glorifying God because it's unto him. And he could give you like a voice in different spaces. Now that's a whole nother discussion as far as like, where are the boundaries and the lines. You guys get to determine that with God and maybe with some accountability, in your life.
Yes. But, yes, for sure. With accountability.
Yeah.
I would say I don't think we're disagreeing. I think more so, my position is, like to have that as your vision, and then whatever role you step into, whether that is a directly God glorifying role or a completely secular role, like what you're talking about, like without even a notion of spirituality, both the same vision applies.
Yes.
But the functionality may differ. And then, like you said, completely falls in line with however you walk that out.
Yeah, that's good. No, this is fun. I love that we're bouncing around.
That was the second time we disagreed in this entire wow. 14 episodes.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people are. It's an interesting discussion point in Hollywood because some people are like, every Christian should be in like these Christian films that are basically like Hallmark movies and and that's not my position, but anyway. We're pausing that because that should be another episode. Okay, should we talk about prosperity gospel? I felt some heat on it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so if you're not familiar, some individuals believe that following Jesus includes the right to become extremely favored and wealthy with finances, right? Yeah. They're saying every believer, if you're actually walking in Jesus, you should be bringing in some cash.
Yeah. Or some material gain on this earth, I would say. Yeah. Whatever it looks like.
Yeah. And, you know, we see a lot of abuse of it with some of these ministers with their jets and their huge houses. And they're like, this is all just part. I'm just
walking minister, in the walking favor, in the of, favor the
of the Lord. And, you know, a lot of the what they're attributing it to is like the wealth that came to like Abraham, for example, and other Old Testament figures, the multiplication of wealth in the nation of Israel, things like that. But now in this new covenant, how does that change? How does that apply to us today? What do we see in the lives of New Testament believers? Because there is a new, some people say epic, some people say epoch, new epic season, E-P-O-C-H, of coming into this new covenant reality, the kingdom of heaven lifestyle. What do we see modeled in the New Testament in the lives of believers, in the lives of apostolic fathers and mothers?
Yeah.
And how does that relate to us today? So,
yeah, maybe if I could jump in to another place of foundation is what you gain from the new life in Jesus, in Yeshua the Messiah, is a prosperity of heart.
And soul.
Yes, heart and soul. Like you have been positionally translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He is your propitiation that makes you righteous and justified before the Father. And that has direct ramifications upon your soul and your heart, positionally and experientially. Now, that is the prosperity that is guaranteed scripturally. Like you will receive those things from the Lord. You are prosperous in your heart and in your soul. Without a doubt, that is like cut and dry, scripturally supported, grounded. We could go through all of it.
And trusting God to take care of your needs.
Yeah, and trusting God to take care of your needs is, I would say, coming from that place. Yeah. I think everything moves and has its movement based off of that foundation. And that could look different, right? Like Paul says, I know what it's like to prosper and to be in want. And yet I have learned a better way to be content in all things.
Yes.
The priority there is how do you be content, whether you're poor and suffering with a blanket in India by yourself in jail? And how do you be content with these millions of dollars that you have somehow gained because you released a book that was driven by the Lord and it just blew up and went viral?
That's great.
Now, I personally will probably take a more humble position always when it comes to money because I personally don't need that much. I personally have a very low bar for things and for like the accumulation of things. I am by nature driven more by experiences, driven more by how do I experience the fullness of this life. And that typically means that I will spend my money on a coffee rather than like a new shirt or something.
Yeah.
But that also plays more into my sensibilities. With other people, it's different. And that isn't to say that it's better or worse, but whatever it is, it's how do I move from the place that my heart is completely content with the Lord in the position that I am in, and with the prosperity of my heart. And I think that is weighed in each, almost it can be weighed in each purchase, I would even say. Like, I get convicted sometimes when I do purchase the new shirt. Am I purchasing this as fair trade? Is the person getting, is the person getting, like, a fair quantity of money paid to them by the production of this? And honestly, like, to confess, like, I sometimes I do well with this, sometimes I don't. And you know, like, but I do think it is a purchase by purchase thing.
Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. There's senses of, like, Romans 12:16, live in harmony with each other. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. There's just a lot of verses that all have to do about contentment and simple living. At the same time, holding that intention, the New Testament is full of radical living. So especially that you look at all through Acts and how radical the early church was living. They were giving up their properties to fuel the church. They were giving up their finances to help people in need. They were living like, hey, brother in the Lord, do you need money? Here's some cash. And just shoving it into each other's hands. Because they were like, this life is short and we want to live in the kingdom of God. And they were just sharing things between between each other radically.
And I think they experienced the benefit of that. I think that there is such a security and safety in the midst of knowing that your brother and sister next to you will, like, genuinely give you the shirt off their back if you were to be in need. And I think that's a place where our culture can actually really support each other. Because although, it, like, I think it's a part of the culture of honor that that God has instilled in us for the exemplification of his wisdom to the world. Like, that we would love each other in practical ways.
That's good. I think we're running out of time here, Brian.
Man, this might, we can go for
a long one.
Let's just go for an hour. I'm just kidding.
No, it's good. I think you guys are going to have some great discussion in your groups. All about work, share some testimonies of what that looks like for you guys. Get a little bit of a challenge even of, like, where am I? Am I treating my workplace like I'm doing it unto the Lord as worship? Am I treating it like my primary overseer is Jesus? And how would that actually impact how I work in the different ways? I think you guys are going to have great discussion. So thank you for joining us for this podcast. We probably should have done four podcasts off of each of these topics, but at least you guys get a little taste of each of these topics, and can't wait to hear how your groups go.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for the final episode of this season.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye, guys.